This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and you can always find us at naturalnurse.com. We are so happy to say hello to all of you, you're listening out there. And we have people all over the country. I love hearing from you. Please go to naturalnurse.com and click contact to get in touch. Or go up to the top and click calendar, and you will see all the classes and workshops that we have available literally every single day. Sometimes we take people out in person, such as going to Chinatown, which we're doing coming up, where we actually visit for a full day, something that feels like a whole other country. We learn about herbal medicine, tongue and pulse diagnosis, what trees are growing in the street right there in Manhattan that can be used for food and medicine. We visit Chinese apothecaries, and we even have an underground tour of an FDA-registered herbal pharmaceutical facility. So a lot of really exciting stuff that you'll never see on your own. We've been doing this tour for 30 years, and we have that twice a year. So visit calendar to find out when. Then we also go out and gather wild edible and medicinal plants and make them into medicine. We have one coming up in January in Florida. Of course, that's where I am in the winter. But we still have one in the Northeast in October at Gilberti's Organic Herb Farm. And that will be on September 30th. And we'll spend the day out in the field gathering plants and making medicine. So we'd love to see you there. Then, of course, we have so many online classes. And our online classes are CE certified. So that means if you are a licensed health provider, such as a nurse, midwife, licensed massage therapist, acupuncturist, or RD, or a nutritionist, like a clinical nutritionist, all of those kinds of people can get CE certified credits towards their recertification for their license. And if you are not a licensed health provider, you can just take the classes either just for your own knowledge, or you can get a certificate of attendance that you did take a certain number of classes with myself and Dr. Eugene Zamperone. So all of those are available. Of course, we've written 12 books. They're available at naturalnurse.com under books, such as Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, and Cycles of Life, Herbs for Women, and The Natural Guide to Great Sex, and The Natural Medicine Chest, and Vitality and Virility, as well as Supplements for Pain. So all of those are books. Some are electronic and physical, and some are just physical books. You can take a look at them. So we have many, many different things going on, and we're so happy that you're joining us today. We have as our guest Kathleen Porter. She originally trained as a massage therapist and then also was a yoga instructor for many years and was then introduced to the concept of natural alignment. This led to her extensive travel to countries where it is common for women and even children to carry heavy loads on their head, and she was able to observe the mechanical use of their bodies in motion and to interview them. Since that time, she has written several books, including Natural Posture for Pain-Free Living, and the book that we will be talking about today with a focus on healthy posture, babies and children. Kathleen has taught the principles of natural alignment through the University of Hawaii at Hilo and the National College of Naturopathic Medicine in Portland, Oregon, as well as the Omega Institute, and she also offers classes and workshops around the country. She is in the middle of creating an online program of video tutorials that will make this information available to anyone, anywhere. And she resides in Portland, Oregon, where she is the director of the Center for Natural Alignment. So a shout out to you, Kathleen. You know, the American Herbalist Guild is about to have their 28th annual conference right outside of Portland, Oregon, in Portland Gardens. Well, so you know, you're right in that area.
That's a wonderful thing. Yeah.
Yes. So welcome. If you're interested at all, you should look at the website because they do have day rates where you're actually not even an hour away. Have you ever been to Portland Gardens?
I have never been to Portland Gardens. No, I don't even know where it is.
Yeah, it's along 5, about 1 hour south of the city of Portland.
Yeah.
So very easy ride. Anyway, so I was scheduled to be there actually that next week. It starts, I think, October 3rd. So it'll be right in your neck of the woods. So thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't we go back in time? Because this is a very specific niche that you have developed for yourself in terms of being an expert in posture. And, of course, you're also a massage therapist and a yoga instructor. How do those two things fit into your interest in posture?
Well, I no longer practice either massage therapy or yoga. I am completely 150% focused on natural alignment. So massage therapy gave me my introduction to anatomy and to my interest in, you know, the body and an understanding of the musculoskeletal system. And then teaching yoga was an interesting experience for me because I actually got into yoga because I was so tight. And so I loved it because it gave me a chance to stretch and release the tension that was stored in my muscles. But you know what? It always came right back. So I had to, I actually got kind of addicted to stretching in order to feel okay because my bones were not aligned. And so the interesting thing is that, of course, since our muscles are attached to those bones, the way the bones of the skeleton are arranged in relationship to each other determines whether our muscles are naturally elastic or if some of them are too tight and others are too weak, which was the case with me. So actually, once I learned how to really align my bones naturally, I lost all urge to stretch. And I haven't stretched now for over 20 years. I'm 70 years old, and I'm more flexible than I've ever been since I was a very young child, without doing anything other than just living a normally active life.
And I know that in your bio, we talk about the fact that you traveled extensively and through observation watched people in other cultures have different attitudes towards posture.
Right. Well, you know, here in the Western, modern, technologically advanced part of the world or places in the world that, you know, countries that have major cities and that are advanced technologically and all of that, people have lost track of how to inhabit the body naturally because we spend so much time sitting. We spend so much time commuting in cars. We, you know, have taken on different habits, and we do not use our bodies in a regular way just through the course of natural living. But people who live in third world countries, who live in rural areas where there's still a lot of manual labor that is required for constructing buildings and roads and harvesting food and all of those things, people don't lose sight of this natural posture, which all healthy, well-developing babies throughout the world discover on their own. You know, we don't teach a baby how to sit up, or we shouldn't anyway teach a baby how to sit up or stand and walk. This is something that they figure out on their own through a very intricate concentration process of trial and error. And what they're figuring out, which they, of course, don't understand that what they're trying to do, is figure out how to organize their skeleton along the vertical axis of gravity, which allows heavy loads to be carried on the head. So people In our part of the world, we're very confused about what posture is, and we have sort of invented posture as being a way of sucking in your belly and lifting up your chest and pulling your shoulders back, which is one reason why people just hate the word posture, because it reminds them of, you know, effort and struggle, wherein natural posture is easy, it's relaxed, it's fluid, and it's strong in a balanced kind of way.
Well, one thing is that I'm looking at your book, Healthy Postures for Babies, Healthy Posture for Babies and Children, and it's a beautiful full-color illustrated book, which really makes it lovely to look at and very, very instructional. So it looks like one thing is that parents are taught that babies should sleep on their back. And I know when they leave the hospital, they're actually given that as kind of, you know, the best information for keeping babies safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what do
so
you have
about
that? Yeah,
I was
so
just
what
gonna
is
say
your
this is very controversial. And so I, you know, I've kind of avoided talking about it until recently. But the more I understand what is happening with babies and children, the more urgent I feel it is to speak up and at least promote greater awareness and hopefully research into the effects of this campaign. I don't for a moment wish to diminish the horribleness of parents losing a baby from SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, which is the reason that this policy was instituted in the first place. The idea was that babies might be less likely to die from SIDS when placed on their backs than on their stomachs. The idea being that perhaps they would be better able to arouse themselves if they were having some sort of a breathing emergency or something. Since this campaign was started in the early 1990s, every parent in America has been told by their pediatrician and a whole boatload of other people to always put their babies to sleep on their backs. So the problem, it was probably not really that big a problem what position a baby sleeps in. The real problem is that parents have gotten this message that putting their babies on their bellies, even when they're awake, could be a dangerous position for a very small baby. So newborns and babies in the first few months of life are often almost exclusively restricted to being on their backs. And if they're not lying flat on their back, they're in some sort of a containment device, you know, a bucket carrier, a car seat, a stroller. I mean, car seats are very necessary if you're going to put a baby in a moving car. But it's the constant being on the back all day, all night, that prevents very essential neurodevelopmental movements that only happen when a baby is on its belly. And, you know, we are different than other species. We're the upright species, but we don't start out that way. And we have to earn being upright by doing the same thing that all the other species do, on the belly, on all fours, developing the core that will then stabilize the upright spine. So a lot of the problems that we see in children today with poor posture, low muscle tone, difficulty with coordination and balance, which are epidemic among children today, these things often have their beginnings in the earliest months of life.
Well, I love the term that you have for that. It's called belly-to-earth movements.
Right.
And you discuss really in depth the natural evolution of these belly-to-earth movements and how it affects all kinds of things physiologically. And I love that your book is easy to read, beautifully illustrated, but very grounded with scientific data and studies.
Right. And, you know, this concept, you know, doctors did start to catch on that there was a problem with babies not getting enough time on their bellies. And they came up with something called tummy time, which then they started telling parents, your babies need some tummy time, because babies were getting flat heads and they were noticing that their motor delay was delayed. Motor development was delayed. And it just drove me crazy to hear tummy time as sort of like a little jingle or a brand name of something, you know, whereas really the belly to earth captures our connection with the earth. Because if you think about it, movement, actual gross movement of the trunk of the body is driven by our body's relationship with a surface of some sort, whether it's the floor that you walk on, the chair that you sit on, the bed that you lie on, whatever it is. If you want to move, you're going to have to move into or against that surface. If you're going to get out of a chair, you're going to have to push your feet into the floor or your arms into the armrest, which is not the ideal way to do it. But that the physics of it is that you're going to have to engage what's called ground reaction force. And so the floor, the chair, the bed, whatever surface it is, represents the earth. It's all about our relationship and all vertebrates' relationship with the earth and how that mechanically we're designed to move in that way.
And your pictures about that are excellent. I also love your discussion on page 55, which is all the rage right now, the understanding of the fact that there is something called the brain in the gut. And of course, that's getting stimulated when you're having the belly-to-earth movements early yes. on and even later in life.
Right, right. It's interesting because the emphasis tends to be, you know, when we talk about the microbiome and the, you know, leaky gut and all these other issues that people are having problems with and food sensitivities and things, we don't seem to make a connection between the physics of the body and these issues. The emphasis always seems to be on, you know, what we're eating or what our exposure is to various, you know, toxins in the environment. And I'm not suggesting that those things aren't important and that they don't play a big role. But this is one area of our overall health related to so many factors in our lives that's overlooked. You know, if you... We're not cars, we're not machines, we're not buildings, but structurally, our bodies have a lot of similarities to everything else in the world because we are governed by the same laws of nature, of physics, that govern everything. So if you think of a car, the chassis of the car is the framework that supports all the moving parts of the engine that are so important. It's a precision instrument, and things have to be aligned in order to work efficiently. Our bodies are the same way, and our skeleton is the framework of support for all the working parts of all the various organs that support the functioning of our various systems, respiration, digestion, elimination, circulation. And if the skeleton is not aligned in order to properly support those organs so that they might be compressed and distorted, it's going to affect how they function, which is going to have this sort of unfolding effect on our health. And I see it all the time. I mean, in myself, the reason I'm so passionate about this is that my health improved in so many ways. Not did I just get rid of, you know, back pain and stiffness that I was living with, but I just, you know, my digestion worked better. All kinds of headaches that I had struggled with all disappeared just simply by learning how to inhabit my body in this natural, easeful alignment.
Well, that's something that you offer as the director of the Center for Natural Alignment. Do you do teaching there, or do you actually do private consults?
I do both. So I have, for a number of years now, over 20 years that I've been doing this specifically, I have been teaching classes and workshops and lots of private sessions with people. I am often approached by people who don't have access to this. I originally learned this from a woman named Jean Couch, who is in California and Palo Alto area. She learned this from a woman named Noelle Perez in France. And there is a growing number of people who are learning to teach this, but it's still very small in terms of the need for people to have access to this, which is why I am cutting back dramatically on my teaching schedule and putting my time into creating an online course of video tutorials, which when people have the access to this, they'll be able to access it forever, you know, because it requires repetition. That's the thing about this, because we're working to change habits, and habits not just of the mind, but habits that are actually embedded in our musculature of how we bend and how we, you know, lift something, how we stand up and get up and down out of a chair, all the things that we do. So I'm very excited to be working on that. And so that's what I'm up to these days.
That's a very good idea because, of course, that's, you know, moving into the future. But also, like you said, in terms of legacy, someone said that to me yesterday because I've been doing this since 1964. So it's kind of time to start, you know, we're not 20.
Right.
It's time to start thinking about legacy. I love that term in terms of making all your life's work so much more accessible by you doing that. Not everybody can just pick up and fly to Portland.
Right, right. No, that's very true. And even if they can, they might take a workshop or a class. And my classes sometimes meet once a week for two or three hours and over a period of 5 or 6 weeks. So that's also problematic for people who are far away. But even then, it bears repeating, you know, because you don't just remember how to do all of these things just because somebody, you know, guided you through it. So that's the real benefit of having these video tutorials that one can return to over and over. And I use a lot of graphics in my explanations because it's really important that people understand not just what to do, but why. Because the more we understand really how our bodies are designed to work, the more we are empowered as individuals to be in charge of that rather than just...
And your book does that. You know, we're going to take a little bit of a break right here on The Natural Nurse, Dr. Z, and then we will come back. So listeners, thank you so much for joining us today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. My guest is Kathleen Porter, author of Healthy Posture for Babies and Children. Fascinating topic and excellent book. And we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss jojoba, the miracle plant of the desert.
Jojoba is spelled J-O-J-O-B-A, but is pronounced according to its Spanish origins. The jojoba plant grows in the American Southwest and the Sonoran Desert in Mexico. The jojoba is a large bush-like plant resembling mistletoe. It can reach a height of 15 feet and can live from 100 to 200 years. The Sonoran Indians have used the oil pressed from the jojoba beans for centuries. Father Juniper Serra, founder of 21 missions in California, noted in the early 1700s that the local Indians were using jojoba oil for treating sores, cuts, bruises, burns, and as a diet supplement, to soothe skin from sun and wind burns, as a cooking oil, and even as a beverage.
The importance of jojoba as a cash crop was proclaimed in 1935. But it was not until 1974, when the killing of sperm whales was banned, that the government began to study jojoba oil in depth as a substitute for whale oil. The National Academy of Sciences concluded jojoba oil has a radically different chemical structure than any other known oil. Most oils break down or turn rancid. Jojoba, on the other hand, is hypoallergenic, non-toxic, never turns rancid, and does not break down even under high temperature and pressure.
The University of California at Riverside did a study where they cooked 27 batches of popcorn in the same heated jojoba oil. The last batch was just as perfect as the first. These unusual properties are unique to jojoba oil because, chemically speaking, jojoba oil is not really an oil at all, but is a liquid wax. Its composition is almost identical to sebum, which is the oil secreted by human sebaceous glands to help to protect the skin from the environment.
Jojoba has a myriad of usages. The cosmetic industry takes advantage of its compatibility to human skin by adding it to shampoos, conditioners, moisturizers, and many other cosmetic products. In medicine, jojoba can be used directly on rashes, cuts, and psoriasis. It may also be used as a lubricant for artificial hearts. Jojoba contains a natural appetite suppressant, which can be used in weight loss products. It has no known side effects. In industry, jojoba is known to be a superior engine lubricant and will cause a car to run 20 to 30 degrees cooler when added to the crankcase oil.
So, if you are interested in a miracle plant from the desert, reach for jojoba in your natural medicine chest.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and we look forward to interacting with you either virtually. Go to naturalnurse.com and go to contact. You can send us any of your questions, or Facebook, the natural nurse. You'll find us there as well. And you can join in on the classes and workshops that we teach, both on ground and online, such as visiting a Chinese apothecary or going to an organic herbal farm in Connecticut and making medicine all day from the natural, wild, and cultivated medicinal herbs. And we'll be repeating that kind of workshop in January 2008 at Hippocrates Health Institute. So we have classes basically every single day, be they on ground or online, so join us. Today, our guest is Kathleen Porter. She is the director of the Center for Natural Alignment in Portland, Oregon. She offers programs for people with posture-related pain and for children and teachers in classrooms. She has been featured on Mercola.com. I love Dr. Mercola. And she has taught principles of natural alignment at the University of Hawaii and also the National College of Natural Medicine in Portland, Oregon, and the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. She is the author of several books, including Natural Posture for Pain-Free Living, and we're looking today at her beautiful, fully illustrated, and fully annotated new book, Healthy Posture for Babies and Children. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Now, Kathleen, when we get into, we talked a little bit about little babies, but a lot of your book is about school-age children and what goes on with that sitting in a desk and slumping all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big problem. And teachers, you know, are so overwhelmed with everything that they have on their plate that dealing with the fact that their children are either, you know, sitting completely slumped over and often just kind of checked out in a bit of a zone, or they're fidgeting like crazy and sometimes even acting out. It's a real problem, especially because the teachers themselves often struggle with their own posture. So it's asking a lot to expect them to be able to help and guide children. So I've worked in a number of classrooms. I started out doing a lot of pilot projects with any teacher I could find who was interested in working with me in this way. And I would go into the classroom and I would talk to children about their bodies and their skeleton. I would bring a skeleton for them to look at and touch. And they were really enthusiastic. They love being invited to understand how their bodies work. The idea that they have a living, breathing skeleton inside of them is exciting. You know, it's not just about Halloween or graveyards. And they also really like being invited to feel what's going on inside their skin. Because, you know, in classrooms, the emphasis is almost entirely on academic learning. And, you know, we don't really give children permission to feel. I think partly in our culture, we have a lot of confusion between sensuality and sexuality. And so sensuality is what, you know, all sensate creatures experience, this sense of being alive in a body. And it's thrilling and it's to be celebrated. We don't give our children much of an opportunity to do that. And I think in doing that, we create a lot of problems, a lot of fear and anxiety and a lot of sense that our bodies are not good and they're not to be trusted. And then I don't think children develop a healthy relationship with their body and an ability to sort of be in charge of it and feel that it's an important, valuable part of themselves. When children learn how to be supported by an aligned skeleton, they really get quiet. And the teachers tell me all the time that when they remind the children how to sit after they've learned how to do this, that they are so much more focused, so much more ready and willing to pay attention and learn. It's a wonderful thing. It ties in really well with the movement that is happening in schools all over the country, which is a wonderful thing, which is an emphasis on mindfulness. And they're finding the same things with mindfulness. As children learn how to be mindful, they learn how to be more still. They develop a lot of qualities of focus, but they also develop a sense of connection with others, and they develop compassion. And but it's a problem to teach children mindfulness and not know how to teach them how to sit while being mindful. So it's a wonderful
Let's backtrack 1 minute here, and I want to tell our listeners we're listening to author Kathleen Poyter discuss her book, Healthy Posture for Babies and Children. Now, you threw in this term mindful, but we can't just take it for granted that everyone knows what you're talking about. So what are you talking about?
Right. So what I'm talking about is mindfulness is the ability to focus on the experiences that one is having in the moment, in the present, so that it turns down the chattering mind, and it often includes focusing on something like the movement of one's breath, but it brings one sort of centered into oneself and one's immediate experience without judgment, just simply with awareness, developing awareness. So mindfulness and natural alignment are wonderful partners because they each tend to enhance the other. So I'm very excited that mindfulness training is growing in a lot of schools. Now, they've discovered that it's so helpful for one's health. It addresses a lot of problems. People find that it's as effective, in some cases, more effective than medication for addressing depression in some cases. that they're teaching mindfulness classes in hospitals. It's also very helpful in addressing pain, you know, especially sort of chronic pain of no cause and that sort of thing. So it's these are exciting times that these things are beginning to come into the classroom where children are very, very challenged. I do want to tell you a little thing about how I work with children, because the pelvis, when you're sitting, the pelvis is the foundation block, so to speak, that supports the upright spine. And so the position of the pelvis is absolutely key to healthy sitting. But children, especially, you know, third, fourth graders, get easily embarrassed by words like pelvis or, you know, God forbid, pubic bone. And they react by laughing hysterically. And so I came up with this concept of a sad dog and a happy dog. So a sad dog is how many of us, and I'm not just talking about children here, I'm talking about all of us, all ages, and our habitual patterns. A lot of us sit like sad dogs. A sad dog tucks its tail between its legs when it's sad or it's being scolded for eating a shoe or something. And so children can really relate to this. So if, you know, in sitting, you think of the tailbone tucking under, the pelvis tips backwards and the back starts to round because it loses, the spine loses the support of this angle, the proper angle of the sacral platform on which it sits. So if children then think of a happy dog with its tail wagging behind it, this encourages the sit bones to be aiming back towards the back of the seat. And this then gives them the opportunity to experience the spine being on top of the pelvis and being supported in that way. It's a little more complicated than that, because sometimes when you put your pelvis in that position, it causes the back to arch and the chest to lift up. These are adaptations that can be easily addressed. But, you know, that's the foundation is the concept of sad dog, happy dog, which children all start with.
I think most people could actually visualize that. Anybody who's been a dog owner or even seen a dog, you can see when they are, you know, frightened or backing off, they tuck down that lower back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Versus when they're standing upright and straight and looking forward and looking excited and happy.
Right, right. And so often when we tell somebody to sit up straight, or if we remember our own parents telling us to sit up straight or whatever, we just respond by lifting up the chest. But that requires a lot of, first of all, it's not natural. It arches the spine, and it requires a lot of muscle tension to hold that. So we might catch ourselves slouching, and then we try to pull ourselves up by lifting up the chest and pulling our shoulders back, but that never lasts very long because it's very stressful to the body. So then down we go again. But if we learn that actually what we really need to do is rearrange the position of the pelvis, then being upright is easy. There's no effort involved. It's just how we are meant to be.
Well, how do you? That's a very good point. Someone might be slouching, and you say sit up straight, and then there's an overcompensation,
right.
So it's still not that nice natural alignment
right,
that you're talking
right.
about.
Yes, and that's the third dog. I call that tense dog. I have little cartoon dogs for each one of these. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned this, because I actually have a little handout on my website called, I think it's the 5 Steps to Pain-Free Sitting. And if anybody goes to my website, they'll get a little option to sign up for it, and then I'll send it. You'll get an email.
Let me step here a minute, Kathleen, because Kathleen's website is Natural Posture Solutions, with an S, all one word, naturalpostureSolutions.com, and there's lots, as she said, of information and giveaways there. Also, this show, like all our shows, we are doing it live, if you're listening in at this moment, But I know many of our almost 300,000 downloaders visit the site later on, and that is because we archive all of these shows, and Kathleen's bio will be there along with a link to Natural Posture Solutions, so you can visit it anytime, and you can revisit this show anytime. And that's one of the marvelous new things in the world about archives. So if we miss something, it's really not gone forever. So that's great. So you actually have illustrations there like you do in your book.
Yes, and I'm this 5 steps to easy to pain-free sitting will talk anyone through the steps of parking the pelvis and lining up in such a way that you don't over correct. So that's a handy little handout for someone who wants to know about sitting.
So now you say some things that I notice where you're saying that in the old days, the good old days, posture wasn't as much of a problem. Why would that
Ellen,
be?
Can you hear me okay? Because you are completely breaking up.
Okay, something's breaking up. I don't know if it's my phone or your phone. For some reason, I'm not hearing you now. So perhaps we'll go to our next break right now, engineer, and then when we come back, we will bring back on board our guest today, Kathleen. We'll be right back with more on Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We are in the middle of, you know, what's now currently being called weather events. We have a Hurricane Jose right upon us on the North Shore of Long Island, where I am sitting at this point. So unfortunately, I think that interfered a little bit with our connection. But we're back, and we're back with guest Kathleen Porter, the director of the Center for Natural Alignment in Portland, Oregon. And you can find her at naturalposturesolutions.com. And we're talking about her excellent book, Healthy Posture for Babies and Children. So welcome back, Kathleen.
Thank you, Ellen. It's good to be with you.
And, you know, there's weather events all over. I imagine you guys might be having fires right now.
We finally have rain, and I have never been so grateful for rain in my life. We just had this horrific fire out in the Columbia Gorge. It burned over 40,000 acres of forest and just magnificent hiking trails, and it's just been very, very heartbreaking. And it has been very hard to control, and now suddenly Mother Nature has come to the rescue and it was started by teenagers who were fooling around with fireworks, and we burned out of control basically for 2 weeks. So yes, it's happening everywhere.
Right. So anyway, we are back, and we're talking about posture and relearning healthy posture. And you've given great advice in your book, Healthy Posture for Babies and Children, about why you might be interested. So what are some of the benefits, both for adults, children, and even people who are aging, to maintain healthy posture?
Right. So, you know, we tend to think of exercise as the way to improve our posture, either through stretching. You know, we're a very muscle-centric society, so we either think of stretching muscles or strengthening muscles. But we don't really think about the skeleton and the alignment of the skeleton that the muscles attach to. So people often want to know, what are the best exercises for me to do? And there are some, and some of them are detailed in the back of the book. But basically, anything that you do, whether it is sitting at a computer or driving your car or weeding your garden or running a race, these are all activities that can be done And must be done, actually, with these principles of alignment in place. So the key is to learn what these principles are and how to engage them in your own body, and then to practice living as much as you can every day in this natural way. Nothing is more beneficial. So I would say that learning the position of the pelvis in supporting the spine, and if you have a weak core, you want to learn how to develop your deep abdominal core. This is different from the six-pack abs shortening of the rectus abdominis muscles in the front of the abdomen, because that actually is counterproductive to the deeper core, which I'm just trying to think of, well, you can get to, lie down on a couple of pillows on your belly. And even sitting, you can imagine your sternum, your breastbone, moving in towards your back. And as you start to move your sternum in towards your back, you'll feel muscles in your all around your waist start to firm up. That's the core that has to be developed and strong in everyone, because this is an essential part of stabilizing the spine in an upright position. This has a huge impact on how we age, because we either age because by collapsing more and more and more, or we age by remaining strong and flexible and vibrant with a skeleton that supports us well into old age.
And what are some of the things people can do? Now, you said in the old days, right, before modern technology, that people had more of a chance of having this correct alignment naturally, but that that has escaped us with modern life. Why has it escaped?
Right. Well, it's because of the Industrial Revolution and because of the technology revolution, where we now sit for hours in front of television screens and in front of computers, and we drive in cars and sit in traffic. And there is all of these things that continually take the pelvis. It's amazing how few people alive today in the modern world actually sit on a well-aligned pelvis. It's very hard to be supported in an upright way. So that's the key. I would say get one of my books and learn what you can from these books. I do have some videos. I'm going to have this online course. There are other people who teach this. They are also listed in my book. This is there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that one can learn how to do this. The bad news is that it's not totally easy. It really requires a commitment. And for that, being mindful, back to that word mindfulness, being mindful is a huge part of it. This is why the subtitle of my book, Natural Posture for Pain-Free Living, the subtitle is The Practice of Mindful Alignment, because you can't just will yourself to change these habits.
No, but I would say that the good news is, as you describe in your book beautifully with colored illustrations, that just bringing your attention to it is really anyone can do it. Just
yes.
You don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to spend hours and hours and hours practicing. And you
exactly.
just have to learn the technique, bring your attention to it,
right.
and then look at yourself again later to see, oh, am I still there? Whoops, no,
right.
let me fix that.
Yes.
Anyone can fix this on their own.
Yes, that's right. You can. You just need to learn how and then put it into practice. And I didn't mean to make it sound like a horrible thing. It's just that it really does require consistent practice over a period of time to change those patterns. But yes, this is the beauty of it. Anybody can do it, and you do not have to go to the gym and work out and do all these exercises or anything like that. You just have to live a, being completely sedentary is not an option. It's not a good option for many reasons.
What about all the research that's coming out now on the dangers of spending, you know, 12 hours a day sitting?
Right.
Which unfortunately
so,
is quite
some of this,
common.
I think, is it's true. I think sitting is horrible, but I think that sitting is somewhat getting a bad rap because it, I do not think that sitting in and of itself is harmful. It's how we sit. So, yes, if you're sitting on a collapsed pelvis and everything is kind of being crunched and collapsed down, you know, this is what I meant earlier about how we really overlook the importance of good posture. But if you are sitting on a well-planted pelvis and you are connecting, so here's a little exercise that just takes a moment to experience. If you are sitting now and you simply push one of your feet into the floor, you will have a response that you will feel in your foot and in your leg. These are neurons. These are sensory and motor neurons that are connecting the body and the brain and contracting muscles. So this is ground reaction force actually occurring right now in your body connecting with the earth. Now, if you sit for long periods of time, you can actually walk in place by pressing first your right foot and your left foot and then your right foot and then your left foot. And as you do this, you are moving all of this energy. You're increasing the circulation, you're engaging the energy in your body. You know, if you're sitting on a pelvis with the sit bones behind you and your pubic bone down so that your pelvis is anteriorly or rotated in a forward direction and you move while you're sitting, sitting is not then, I think, a, you know, they call it the new smoke. Sitting is the new smoking. I do agree that if you sit poorly for hours and hours, sitting is dangerous to your health.
Well, I love that little exercise. I did it as you talked us through it, which is while you're sitting, you actually push one foot and then you push another.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And the more, the harder you push the foot, the further up your leg. You can feel it all the way up into your hip. You can even feel it into your buttocks and your lower back. And really,
your other foot, to me, my other foot is lifting up automatically. Is that what you're supposed to do?
No.
Keep them both down. On the floor.
Keep them both on the floor and just change the pressure from one side to the other. But this is what I'm talking about in terms of being, you know, the sensuality of a body is this putting our focus into the vitality and the vibrancy we can feel of being alive and feeling this life force that we can experience through the engagement of our body with a surface that represents the earth. It's thrilling, actually, when you get into it.
Well, I would say that it certainly is thrilling to you, and you have inspired lots of people through your work. So I want to invite you to tell our listeners how to get in touch with you. We're very close to the end of the show, and we want to give them the chance to learn more about healthy posture.
Well, I love to hear from people. I love to share this with anybody who is interested. You've already told my website is naturalposturesolutions.com. You can reach out to me through email by writing to contact@naturalposturesolutions.com. And I also have a Facebook page, which is Natural Posture Solutions on Facebook. So,
well, thank
I'd love
you.
To hear
and we
from
are
anybody.
Speaking to Kathleen Porter. Her book is beautiful, Healthy Postures for Posture Babies for Babies and Children. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay safe and happy with all the weather events that are going on around the world. Think about that. Perhaps invest in a generator. Make sure you have a source of water in case you get stranded without electricity like we did in Florida for actually 2 weeks. And that was one of the problems. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.